At the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, World War I came to an end. Wikipedia tells us that an estimated 9 million combatants and 7 million civilians died as a direct result of that war. While it is also considered a contributory factor in a number of genocides, and the 1918 influenza epidemic, which caused between 50 and 100 million deaths worldwide. It's generally agreed, though I'm no historian, that this war and the Treaty of Versailles that ended it 100 years ago today led directly to instability in Germany, the rise of the Nazi Party, and therefore the Second World War. I imagine most of us have seen movies or TV shows depicting the horror of armies using 19th century tactics against 20th century weapons. You know the picture. They climb out of these huge trenches in great numbers, and men rushing across these great fields of mud only to be slaughtered by long-range howitzers, machine guns, and poison gas. That image, I hope, is seared into each of our minds. Jesus comes with another image that we sear into our mind and our heart, proclaiming the kingdom of God, in which the only sword drawn is the sword of love. And another way to talk about the kingdom that Jesus came to bring is to, he came to make our broken world whole. Whole. So Jesus' mission can be called whole making. And his method is sharing and communicating and transferring to us his experience of God. So we see Jesus' mission as whole making when he heals someone. He heals the man born blind or the woman with the issue of blood. We see it when he's willing to even go beyond his own Jewish tribe and heal or help out the centurion or the Samaritan woman at the well. He makes people whole on the inside, and he creates communities that are striving to be whole on the outside, ever expanding, ever including. We see Jesus' method of sharing his experience of God when he describes what happens at his baptism. If you wonder, how do we know what happened at his baptism? Well, he must have told the apostles, and we have that in all in the Gospels. He comes out of the water, the heavens, this veil that separates heaven and earth is gone, and now they are not two, but now one. And out of that union comes a divine voice crashing through the defenses of an ego to the very depths of his being, saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And if that weren't enough, the Spirit of God descending into Jesus. So here we see God as Father, Son, and Spirit. This transformative experience reveals God as complex unity, whose mission is wholeness for the human community, and through them, through us, to all of creation. And Jesus teaches us how to pray, right, for this experience. He goes and says in Matthew, go into that secret place in your heart. And we might ask ourselves this week, how many times have I taken a moment to go into the secret place, the deep places of our heart, and find the Father who is already there? And he teaches us to make forgiveness a centerpiece of our life together, teaching us to pray, our Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And then in his last prayer, at his last supper, Jesus says, Father, the glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, completely whole, no longer fractured. This is whole making at its deepest level. It's what we are practicing at this very moment. It is the Son's mission, just as it is the Father's mission and the Spirit's mission. And as we share Jesus' experience of God, then we can see, what do we see? We see that at the heart of all things is that love which seeks to heal all divisions. We're not in this alone, beloved. God is seeking to lure and love creation into that holy communion where prejudice and fear and hatred and violence are no more. A future where world wars, mass murders, my God, when will they end? And splintered civic life exist no longer. And as we experience Jesus as the one who makes us whole, we must realize it's no time now to huddle up in our clutches, licking our wounds and hating our enemies. Rather, it's time for us to be whole makers in the world through the power of the Spirit of Jesus dwelling in each and every one of us. As we stand in solidarity with the marginalized and the scapegoated, we make it our mission to bring peace to those in our own family who will put their feet under our tables at Thanksgiving. Old Uncle Joe will be there. He doesn't see the world the way you do. How can we be a whole maker there? And to those in our places of work and play, those who are afraid, who think that dividing the nation is the only way to save it. But how, you say, how do we do this? Well, in the gospel that we just heard, Jesus points to one way that doesn't work and one way that does. He points out that some scribes, it's not all scribes, but he says those scribes that walk around who think they're connecting to God when they're showing off their religion, they confuse that warm glow we get when others are impressed with our religiosity. I don't know, does anybody do that when you tell them you were in church Sunday? Were they impressed? If you get a warm glow from that, you know what I'm talking about. But you, he said, but let me just interrupt here. You better be careful, for who do you know that goes around in a long robe, gets the best seat in church, and makes long prayers in public? Well, I'm one of those people. And that would be me and all other clergy, right? One of the men Thursday night at the Bible study at MCI Concord said he was present when Mother Teresa visited the prison back in June 1988. He said there were church officials everywhere. The cardinal was there. There were elected officials there. I think the governors might have been there. Helicopters, security, media, you know, the whole thing. And since the crowd was so big, the chapel there can maybe seat 200, but they couldn't do that. So they had their mass in the gymnasium. And he said they had an altar up there, and they had a special seat for Mother to sit. And she would have none of it. She said she came here to be with the prisoners, so she walked over and sat with the prisoners. We don't grow closer to God, right, through external gratification and ego enhancement, even when we're doing it by being religious. But Jesus said, now here's the positive way. Look at the widow giving away her money in the temple. Some recent scholars, and there may be something to this, suggest Jesus is actually lamenting what the woman has done. I mean, he may really be upset that she's giving her last money to a corrupt institution, which he had just cleansed, right? And which in 40 years will be torn to the ground by Roman legions. But whether that's true or not, I think Jesus is impressed by her generosity and the fact that she is willing to trust God with her life, because Jesus himself would do exactly the same thing, would give up his life at the end of that week. And so there's always a cost, or as we say in the church, a cross, for those who would be made whole. We're not just allowed to get our wholeness and then go about our business. As one theologian puts it, we can be recipients of Jesus' wholeness only if we do not resist being made into its agents. What happens to us must be done by us. So on this 100th anniversary day, I think of Paul Jones, one of our lesser known bright lights in the Episcopal Church. He attended the Episcopal Seminary in Cambridge, Mass. He was elected missionary bishop of Utah in 1914 at the outbreak of World War I. And although the United States did not enter the war until 1917, Jones spoke out against the war, saying that war could not be reconciled with the teachings of Jesus. He also clearly opposed what Germany was doing and lobbied for other ways to oppose them. He wasn't naive. And many, to their credit, lay people and clergy supported him, even though they were in a very different camp. They, like most of America, were caught up in just the glory of what this war would be. But in 1917, and those of you longtime Episcopalians will love this, in 1917, vestry members from two large Utah parishes organized a campaign against their bishop. A commission investigated him, and the House of Bishops forced him to resign, which he did on April 11th, 1918. So here we are. It's almost the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, 100 years after that horror ended. We've had so many wars in our world that we find it hard to imagine anything other than that. It just seems so natural that the best way to deal with our enemies is to lock them up or kill them. The risen Christ calls us to imagine something else, a way of peace and justice and nonviolence in which we join the cruciform mission of whole making. For what happens to us must be done by us through the energetic love of Triune God. Amen.